Well, good morning. We made the rush over from, you know, we're this sort of two campus thing, and you get over here. I think we were here just as you were starting, so that went well. This morning, we're starting a sermon series in the Gospel of John, as has already been mentioned. And we're going to look at some of the questions of Jesus. And Cam and I have put things back and forth, and Cam came up with 9 questions. And there are more, but we're already past Easter with this series. The other thing is that we went to work, and together, back and forth, we keep discovering more I Am declarations in the Gospel of John as well. So we're going to match those things together. We're going to have some of these I Am portraits. The ones that are most familiar are up there on the screen for you, but there are others. In John's Gospel, he especially likes the Greek word ego. Ego, I, not Freudian Greek. And he uses that word often in some of the statements of Jesus, 177 times in his Gospel, compared to the other 3, which use it just 34. He likes to underline it. This emphatic I keeps showing up in his Gospel. And we're going to look, of course, this morning at one of those. Now, I want to remind you, in John chapter 1, that's where we're starting this morning, because, as you heard, we're doing it in 2 parts. Notice that John's Gospel starts huge. It starts cosmic. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it's a cosmic kind of picture. But then it starts to narrow down into history, and we get the introduction of John the Baptist. So from cosmic creation right down to this prophetic, dramatic figure who comes on the scene. And that narrows a bit more down to the baptism of Jesus, where the Holy Spirit shows up in the form of a dove. For some reason, John edits some of the other components out of that. But then, by verse 35, we've kind of narrowed some more into kind of ordinary stuff. And Jesus is just walking by, it says in the text we're going to center on this morning. So you start out in the same chapter, cosmic creation, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, all of these other things, John the Baptist, and now we've come down to Jesus just walking by. But the question he asks in this passage is far from ordinary. And that's what we're going to center on this morning. So we're going to be reading in John chapter 1, verses 35 to 43. The next day, John the Baptist was there again with 2 of his disciples. Remember, in this context, John, in effect, had gathered a group of disciples of his own, sort of like other rabbis. But when John saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." So he's identifying this walking by person. And when the 2 disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. This word "follow" will be 4 times in just 9 verses. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want? What do you seek? What are you after?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Where are you, in the original, where are you abiding, remaining? And there you're going to be hearing echoes out of John 15 about abiding and remaining in the vine. "Come and see," he replied. "You will see." That's it. That's this opening conversation. What do you want? Where are you staying? Come and see. And it's looking very ordinary. And it says, so they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. So far, not too dramatic. But then the text goes on. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, who was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. Now, how did Andrew come up with this? You know, they had a conversation, they hung around till the 10th hour, and this Andrew guy, young guy, I'm assuming, has already come to the conclusion, in one brief encounter, we found the Messiah. The thing that they had been hungry for, no doubt, all their lives. Part of why they were, no doubt, hanging around with John the Baptist, although he kept saying to folks, I'm not it. So they come and see, stay with Jesus. Andrew says, it's all done. Wrap it up. We found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus, this Simon. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. How often do you go around and rename people? Hi, Craig. From now on, you'll be Alexander. Just letting you know. Okay? Are you cool? It's a little bit longer. You know, some of the tax forms, you'll have to fill in more blocks. Are you okay with it? Alexander, from now on. This Jesus is doing unusual things. And the next day, Jesus decides to leave for Galilee, and finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Now, the worship team jumped up last at Robson Park because now I pray, and they thought it was all done. I'm not. But I'm going to pray so that even in this first section, we may receive some more insight. Heavenly Father, this gospel, so big at the beginning, so huge and cosmic, and now down to come and see. And so we pray that you'd help us step into the story and find ourselves in an encounter with Jesus, even right here this morning, for we ask it in his name. Amen. So the very first words of Jesus in the Gospel of John that are recorded are this question. What do you want? He doesn't come and make a pronouncement. He comes and says, what do you want? Well, we're already on the coming, you will see. What do you want? Now, I thought there might be something different, but he didn't. On this next slide, I want to talk about a movie, a very weird movie. But Cam, and I think Craig, you've looked at this book as well by James K.A. Smith, titled You Are What You Love. He makes reference to this movie I'd never heard of before, and it's called Stalker. Terrible title. It makes it sound like it's going to be a horror film or something. But the term stalker is actually used in this movie to describe someone who's a guide, someone who would take you on a, through a wilderness. That's what stalker means. In this film fantasy from 1979, a Russian movie, the world is now very polluted. It's quite grim. Except for one place that's called the Zone. And if you can get into the Zone, there are often clear skies or water flowing, and it's somewhat picturesque, but it too is a bit dangerous. And in this Zone, right at the center, as you progress along, is a place that's simply called the Room. The Room. And if you can manage to get yourself in the door of the Room, whatever is your heart's true desire will come to reality. So you just have to get in the door. You're out in the polluted realm. The guide takes you through the zone. He gets you to the doorway. And if you walk through, you will get your one true heart's desire. It's a very long film. It's 160 minutes long. There are times when this artistic film has got 4 minutes with no dialogue and you're just sort of watching things apparently in water. It's $32 on Amazon for the remastered version, and I'm too cheap to buy it. So I've only watched the YouTube clips. That's all I can tell you. But the guide gets the writer and the scientist right to the door. But then, in the movie, they pause. And they reconsider what they're going to do next. Are they going to go in or not? In our passage this morning, two young men are, I would say, guided to a doorway of sorts. And John the Baptist is the guide. He's the one that says, we're already in the zone. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he instructs his two of his followers to change their direction, stop following him, and now to go and follow this Jesus who is just walking by. Go follow him. And then these two guys follow the new rabbi without realizing that they've entered the zone. Because they have. They have gone into the zone. And they go far enough that they go right inside the heart's desire room. Do you notice again that Jesus, he turns and he zings them straight off? Doesn't look like it, but it is. What are you seeking? What are you seeking? Now, at first sight, it does seem trite, let's be honest. Hey, Jesus, are you staying at Motel 6 or are you at the campground down by the Sea of Galilee? Where are you staying? But you need to remember that in those days, if you were attaching yourself to a rabbi, you were doing it not simply to hear his teaching. You were going to be there to hopefully hang out with him and live with him as much as possible. Michael Griffiths has written a fabulous book on this called The Example of Jesus. And one book that I was looking at about Jewish feasts, the very first line in the book is this discussion back and forth between two students who want to find a rabbi. And the one student says to the other, are you going to Rabbi so-and-so in order to hear him teach Torah, to teach Old Testament? And the other guy says, oh no, I am going to watch and learn how he ties his shoes. How does he tie his shoes? Meaning, I want to see how he lives in everyday, ordinary things and all the way through the package. And so, when Jesus says, come and see, he's taking them up, in a sense, on becoming his followers. They say, where are you staying? We want to be with you, Rabbi. And my read on this is Jesus saying, come on in. Watch me tie my shoes. In that case, send. How do we put them together? Andrew and his unnamed friend have already revealed their one true heart's desire, haven't they? They want the rabbi who is Messiah. So what's our true heart's desire here this morning? Thank you.
Well, let's stand. We have a few moments to respond before part two, and hopefully these songs, these spaces, will give us a bit of space to consider what is it that we truly want. And I wanted us particularly to sing this hymn and not pass too quickly over this line. I love you because you first loved me.